home after a long, hard day at work, or maybe a long morning at church, whichever the case may be, and just flopping down in your favorite chair. You know how that goes? I don't know about you, but in my house, my mother had a chair. Nobody sat in that chair. And I kind of inherited that. And most people know that's my chair. It's my favorite place to be. But I hope that you know something about comfort. There are certain foods that we think of that are comfort foods, probably different for everybody. There are certain people that we turn to for comfort. And I just have to say, whenever I start complaining about something to someone that I want comfort from, I don't want advice, I don't want I told you so, I want comfort. I want sympathy. Don't tell me I should have known better, you know, that kind of thing. What do you think of when you think of comfort? Comfy pants? Having money left over at the end of the month, maybe? Cozy fire? Ramona said this morning, you know, the smell of sheets that have hung on the line and, you know, that kind of stuff brings comfort. I loved hearing Levi giggle. A hug or a giggle from a small child to me is comforting. I love it. To the original 12 disciples, Jesus brought comfort, but he also brought conviction. He was very quick to bring healing and instruction, but he was just as quick to bring chastisement, because Peter, who he had just got through saying to, you know, God revealed this to you, well done, basically. And then Peter said something that was kind of dumb, and he said, "Get behind me, Satan." He chastised Peter just after he'd had offered him some praise. The crowds came to Jesus to hear, but some of them came to attack, and he called them a brood of vipers. That's not the kind of thing that you want to be called whenever you're looking for help. But they weren't looking for help. They were looking to condemn. This is, as we've seen, it's Graduate Recognition Sunday, and I've already had the opportunity to say normally what I say to graduates, but just basically this. Just because you're graduating from high school or from college or from trade school, don't graduate from worshiping God. And I really, that's probably my most earnest prayer for these kids that stood before you this morning, that as they go their way, that they continue to watch for the Lord and to follow him and to worship him and study about him. Last week I had a message kind of for parents, just let go, just let them go. You've done the preparation, you've done the raising, and now be prepared to watch them fly. But today's message is in some ways, I guess, a continuation of that theme, because really everything that we do is preparation for the next thing. And Jesus had spent 3 years with his friends, the disciples, but when you think about that, he'd also spent 3 years with his betrayer, knowing all along that he was going to betray him. And during that 3 years, many different times he told the disciples that he would be leaving them soon. Back in chapter 14 of John, Jesus told his disciples that he would pray that the Father would send a helper, the Holy Spirit. And I don't know if, I observed this, of course, as we go through the day, but a lot of folks weren't here for the first service, but I've heard people talking about the Holy Spirit ever since then that weren't at the first service. And I believe then that God wants us to talk about the Holy Spirit today. So I'm going to be reading from John chapter 16. I'm going to look at verses 5 through 15. And it reads like this. This is Jesus speaking. "But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you the things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you." Now, what I just read to you took place just a few hours, really, before Jesus would be betrayed and arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he tells them yet again that he's going to be going back to the one who sent him, to his Father in heaven. The rest of verse 5, though, can be confusing because it says, "And none of you asks me, where are you going?" Well, just two chapters earlier in John 14, one of my very favorite passages, Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And then he says, "I go to prepare a place for you. And where I go, you know the way." And then Thomas says to him, "Lord, we don't know the way. How can we know where you're going?" And Jesus says to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And the reason I wanted to quote that to you or paraphrase it to you is that they did ask him where he was going. Thomas said, "I don't know where you're going. Where are you going?" And they had asked him before, but they didn't get it. And I can identify with this a little bit as I get older and my hearing kind of goes away. It used to be the only person I couldn't hear was my wife. And now it's getting to be more and more of you, I guess. But it's kind of like when you can't quite hear somebody and you ask them to repeat what they said. And then they repeat it and you still didn't catch it. And sometimes you ask them to do it a third time and you still don't catch it. And you're just going, uh-huh. And you may have just agreed to something really bad. It's hard telling, you know, because you have no idea what they said. Well, you don't get it because you didn't hear it. And that's the way the disciples were. They heard it, but they didn't understand it. They'd been told over and over and over again what was going to happen. Now, when I say this, graduates, I'm not trying to offend you. I want you to know that I was once in your shoes many, many, many years ago and all that kind of stuff. But it's been true for generations, and it's true probably for every person sitting here. Teenagers are notorious for not listening to older adults. I mean, you can tell them, "I've been through this. You don't want to do this. You don't want to do these things. You don't want to act like that. They want you to follow your advice, their advice." But the thing of it is, you can hear good advice all day long, but until you actually experience it for yourself, you really don't get it sometimes. And again, everybody who has ever been a teenager has gone through that, I'm fairly confident. But in verse 6, Jesus goes on to say, "But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart." I'm leaving, I'm going to be going, and they don't know where he's going yet, but they're sorrowful because they're going to lose their teacher, their master, the one that they've followed for all these years. And they hurt to think that Jesus would leave them. They still don't grasp that it's not just leaving, it's being beaten, it's being nailed to a cross, and all of that. He's told them those things before, but they just don't get it. He's also told them he'll return from the dead, but they haven't grasped that yet either. Verse 7, Jesus says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." Now, Jesus has never lied. He could never lie. But he stresses here, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." And if Jesus, who could never lie, stresses that he's telling you the truth, it's very, very important, pure and simple. Here's a statement that nobody likes to hear, ever. It's for your own good. You know, I remember that with cough syrup from back when I was a kid, and they'd tell me it's for your own good. Well, how could anything for my good taste that bad and that kind of stuff? But truly, there are things that we have to go through that we don't enjoy, but they are for our own good. The disciples did not want Jesus to leave, but he tells them here, "It is to your advantage that I go away. Because if I don't go away, I can't send the Helper to you." And of course, they didn't understand that because we have a hard time getting it. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, I don't know why necessarily, other than it's just God's plan. But God's plan was that the Holy Spirit could not come until Jesus had returned to heaven. The Holy Spirit's made appearances in Scripture before. He in the Old Testament, many different times, it's mentioned that somebody had the Holy Spirit. Daniel, David, Saul, Samson, lots of other people as well. But if you know very much about those guys, Saul and Samson had the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit departed from them when they started doing things that they shouldn't have done. The Holy Spirit in the Old Testament appeared in the lives of people more or less as needed. And and that was the way it was then. Today, believers, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have received the Holy Spirit, and he will never, ever, ever leave you. Now, we'll talk more about that in a minute, but he's guaranteed that he will always be with you, regardless. Ephesians 1, verses 13 and 14, parts of that that I had Robin read to you earlier, it says, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. And normally I like my New King James pretty well, but I really liked that version, the way that explained it, because you've got the Holy Spirit. It's sealed. You can't take it away. You can't take him away, I should say. Unlike Saul or Samson, we will never, ever lose the Holy Spirit. Now, we might ignore him, and I've done that before, when the Holy Spirit tries to lead me down this path, and I don't want to go down that path, so I go down this one. And that's what we do. The Holy Spirit is still there, and he still tries to guide us, and he still tries to direct us, but we often ignore him and live contrary to his leadership. He's called the Helper in verse 7. And lots of other translations say lots of different things. Some of them will say he's your advocate. That means he's the one who argues on your behalf. Some of them call him the Comforter. He's the one who supports you and encourages you. The disciples are told that Jesus, the Savior of the world, has walked with you all these 3 years, but now comes the Comforter. When Jesus departs, the Comforter will come. And the Holy Spirit, who is going to come, has lots of other jobs as well. Verse 8, and when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Well, you know that voice that you sometimes hear? You try to ignore it sometimes, but it tries to tell you, you shouldn't do this. This is wrong. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit also will whisper to you, this is what you need to do. You need to go see so-and-so. You need to accept this job in the church. You need to do something. You need to go to Swaziland, for example. And that's the Holy Spirit telling you that. He will convict the world of sin. And that's how we know when we've done something wrong, because the Holy Spirit will tell you. And I've had people ask me, how do I know if this is right or wrong? If you've got the Holy Spirit living in you, if you're a believer, the Holy Spirit will make you aware, not this, but that. And he will not allow us to walk in the path of sin with comfort. That's why he's called the Comforter. He'll make you uncomfortable if you're doing something you hadn't ought to do. If you're a believer, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, no doubt you remember that time that something told you, you got to go forward. You got to ask for Jesus to come into your heart, to forgive you of your sin. That was the Holy Spirit who was convicting you at that time. It wasn't me or any other pastor. It was the Holy Spirit. I read something the other day. We're talking about sin, the conviction of sin, because they do not believe in me, is what it says in this verse. And it was talking about how we in this society have minimized sin. We talk about it like it's funny. And you'll hear people talking about, for example, I just think about a dessert that is sinful. Sometimes you think about all these things that are so good, they're sinful. Well, we're minimizing sin when we say that. If we talk about Las Vegas as being Sin City, and by the way, Ramona and I were there. We went to Las Vegas. We had breakfast at IHOP. We drove through the strip. And then we went to the dam, and then we went back. We didn't stay along, you know. And whatever happened in Vegas, I'll tell you all about it, okay? But the thing of it is that we talk about Sin City like that's funny. I read something just recently about a new line of cosmetics that are called sinful colors. And I'm not saying that we can't say things like that, but what we're doing is we're taking sin, which is a huge problem, and we're making it something funny. And it's not funny. Sin is something that should be avoided, not exploited. And so anyway, the Holy Spirit convicts of sin. He also convicts of righteousness. The only righteousness that I have, or that you have, or possibly can have, comes only through Jesus Christ. He's the only one who was righteous. So when Jesus was with them, they had righteousness right there with them. But when he's gone, the Holy Spirit convicts us of righteousness. It will convict us of what is right and what is wrong. I know some of this doesn't sound very comforting when we talk about being convicted, but what it means is we've just got to follow the Holy Spirit where he leads and where he directs, and we will be comforted. Let me ask you this. Do you find comfort in the fact that despite your failures, despite your sins, God still loves you? And I hope you can accept that. It doesn't matter what you've done, how many times you've done it, how often you think about what you've done. God loves you absolutely unconditionally. He doesn't want you to continue on the path that is sinful. But what happens when we repent of our sins and ask him for forgiveness, he removes those as far as the east is from the west. And, you know, that's a long distance from east to west. How about this? The Holy Spirit convicts you that you need to do something. Maybe those sign-up sheets out there that you think, well, maybe I ought to teach the third grade VBS class, you know? Maybe the Holy Spirit's convicting you of that. And he just won't let you forget. But sometimes, you know, we get busy or we're scared or we fail to do what the Holy Spirit leads us to do. You can be forgiven, but he still won't let you be comfortable until you are in the Lord's will. And I pray that we all see that. There are people who will never forgive you. Maybe they think you've sinned against them, and maybe you haven't done anything wrong at all. But there are people who will never forgive you. But praise God, he's not like that. He does forgive. He loves you, despite your failings. And quite honestly, and I hope you can see this, there is absolutely nothing that you could ever do that would keep him from loving you. Now, I'm not giving you license to go out and do whatever you want. I'm not saying that. But regardless of what things are in your past, he loves you. And I know I've shared this before, but several years ago, my grandson got in trouble at school, and he tried to keep it from me. And when he found out that I knew, he looked up at me, and as I said, this is Isaac, and if you know, if he looked up at me, it's been several years ago, because he no longer looks up to me in that way. But he said, "Papa, do you still love me?" And it still breaks my heart to think that a child or anybody could think that just because they'd done something wrong, I'm going to stop loving them. God will never stop loving you. His love for you is so much greater than my love for my grandkids. I mean, he could never stop loving us. Verse 12, Jesus says, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." And this may be where we get that misconception that I hear people talk about so many different times, that God won't give us more than we can handle. And I know that every one of you sitting here knows he's given you more than you could handle before. And what he uses that for is to grow us and to grow our dependence upon him. But here it says, you can't bear these things right now, so I'm not going to give them to you. Well, what it boils down to is he didn't dump the whole load on his disciples because they weren't prepared to hear it. But if you know the history and the rest of the story as far as the disciples go, they got it all dumped on them eventually. All of the things that Jesus couldn't tell them here, they eventually found out. We, as believers, don't know it all. I'm sure you all know that. But we are supposed to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ with every passing day. He doesn't dump the whole load on us all at once because we're not prepared for it. But he still has things to say to us. Verse 13. "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you the things to come." And I just want you to see all the masculine pronouns in that particular passage. The Holy Spirit is a he. The Holy Spirit is not an it. And sometimes I still slip up and say that, but the Holy Spirit is a he. He is part of the Holy Trinity of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And he will guide us into all truth. Like any other guide, though, we have to follow. We were on our vacation, and I had the old GPS going, you know, so many different times trying to tell us where to go. And the I can't remember if I had a woman or a man on there. But anyway, whoever it was saying, turn left in 200 feet. And I just knew it was supposed to be right. And I didn't follow my guide. I got there, but that's not the way it's going to be with the Holy Spirit. We have to follow the Holy Spirit's guide. I've had a lot of people tell me something like this. I've tried reading the Bible. I just don't understand it. Well, first of all, find you a translation that's understandable. Nothing against King James or anything like that, but find something that speaks to you. But also, pray that the Holy Spirit will bring understanding as you read it. So many different times. I've read the same passage maybe a dozen times, and the 13th time that I read it or whatever, I see something I had never noticed before. And I see this every single year when we do the Christmas story or the Easter story and the passages that tell us all about that. And every time I find something new in there because the Holy Spirit reveals it to me. Each of the three persons of God has a job to perform. And the Holy Spirit's job here, it says, he will not speak on his own authority. He doesn't speak his own words. He reveals God's words to us. He reveals what Jesus did for us. He reveals the things that God wants us to see. And then verse 14, he will glorify me. This is again Jesus speaking. He will glorify Jesus, for he, the Holy Spirit, will take of what is mine and declare it to you. If you're a believer, if you have the Holy Spirit living in you, you have a guide that will lead you into all truth. You have a judge who will show you what's right and what's wrong. You have a comforter, a helper, who will never, ever leave you. The old saying is you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. The Spirit leads us. The Spirit guides us, but we have to follow. And if you're not a believer, I don't know how you get through the day. You have no guide, no true sense of right and wrong, no comfort. You have no hope without Jesus. I've ministered to families who've lost loved ones lots and lots of times. And I've ministered to families who have the leading of the Holy Spirit. If any of you know and have followed the whole thing about Lenny and Sherry Brewer, I've just seen incredible leading of the Holy Spirit and the way that that family is handling the unexpected death of their loved one. You can see the Holy Spirit all over that. But then I've ministered to families who don't know God, who don't know Jesus, don't know the Holy Spirit, and there's just no hope there. There's a huge difference in the way that people who know Jesus can handle the inevitable. If you don't have this comforter living in you, you really don't have any idea what I'm talking about. Jesus came to earth, left his Father in heaven to minister directly to God's people. But it was part of God's plan from the very, very beginning to send the Holy Spirit as a comforter to be with his people after Jesus ascended. I want you to listen to the second verse of the Bible, Genesis 1, verse 2. It says, "And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." This is right after it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the Spirit was there. The Holy Spirit has been there from the very beginning. And then God said, let us make man in our image. I remember the first time I ever confronted that, first thought about that verse. Our image, is there more than one God? There's only one God, but he's three persons. And I know that's not, we can't explain that on Wikipedia necessarily, but it's the truth. It's the way it is. The Holy Spirit has always been, but he's only been available to all believers since Jesus ascended. And I want to ask you today, do you have the Holy Spirit living in you? Do you have someone guiding you to take the right path? Do you have the Holy Spirit in you to give you comfort when you need it? Are you allowing him to lead you? He's waiting right now to come into your heart. And like I said earlier, for those of us who are believers, we can remember that time when the Holy Spirit directed us to get up out of our seat, to go forward, to accept him as Lord and Savior. If something in your heart, in your mind, is telling you that today, it's the Holy Spirit speaking. He wants to come in and be your comforter. I pray that if there's anybody here who needs that, that they would step out today. Let's have a word of prayer. Father God, I just thank you for the three persons of the Trinity, for God the Creator, for Jesus the Son, who came and died on the cross for my sins, and for the Holy Spirit, Lord, who dwells within us and guides us. I pray, God, for myself, that I would follow your lead. I pray that whatever the Spirit leads me to do, I would do. Wherever he leads me to go, I would go. But I also pray, Lord, if there's even one here today who's never accepted you as Lord and Savior, they have no idea what I'm talking about. Maybe they're hearing the Holy Spirit right now tug at their hearts and ask them to accept Jesus as Savior. Please, God, give them the boldness, the courage, whatever it takes to step out and to be a follower of the Holy Spirit, a follower of Christ today. I just pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.